Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American living citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Army vet Richard Seabury about the Second Amendment. Then Army Reserve Ambassador Colonel Steve Kenyon will discuss what he does for our nation. And Diane Raver will present the movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to introduce Army vet Richard Seabury. I know him because he works part-time at our sponsor, Center Shot Gun Range, but he also has his own business. He's quite a guy. Welcome, Richard. Glad you could join us.
Welcome. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Richard, tell us about your time in uniform. When and why did you join? What did you do?
I joined in 1994 in the United States Army. Spent 20 years active duty working on helicopters. When I was doing that, working on helicopters, I also was an instructor to teach new recruits and new soldiers about their job. I spent 10 years overseas. I've been to Iraq, Afghanistan, Bosnia, Germany, Korea. So I spent a lot of times overseas seeing how other people live, protecting other people, and promoting the democracy that we have here in the United States. I retired in 2014 as a staff sergeant. And then after that, I decided to further my life and do different things. I did inspect aircraft components when I got out. And then I also moved into firearms, working on firearms, being an instructor with firearms. I opened my own business. And at the same time, I started working at Center Shot Gun Range. My business is D. Crockett's Corner. And then I also put myself through gunsmithing school to be able to work on firearms.
So you have not been bored in your time?
No, I haven't.
You always found something to do that keep you busy.
Yes, I have.
I got one question for you. Since you spent a lot of time working on helicopters, I've got about 1,000 hours in a helicopter in Vietnam, and I have the hemorrhoids to prove it. But I don't think those things can really fly because they don't have wings. I think they do it with mirrors and movie and cameras. Do they really fly?
Yes, they do. I actually, and my part was the aircraft powertrain, which is what I worked on. And that's the rotor systems, the drivetrains, the transmissions, the gearboxes, and the tail rotors that was able to give the helicopter the lift to be able to fly.
Well, yeah, I guess I have to admit that, because the one time my helicopter crashed is when the tail rotor came off. So, okay, I'll believe you. but still, logically to me, I can't explain to you how they fly. That's another story. Okay, you got out of the service for a full career. I didn't realize you were in for a full career, so that's cool. And you've seen a lot of countries. So you've probably seen the non-touristy type of those countries. It gives you an appreciation for how good we live in America, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And being in these other countries and knowing what freedoms they don't have compared to what we have makes you appreciate what we have in this country and what we stand for and what our Constitution and how our country is set up. Yeah. Because once you lose that stuff, you can never a lot of times get it back, or it's harder to get back. And people don't appreciate it as much when they do lose it as what they have now.
Yeah. And our country's in a spot where a lot of people better be paying attention to that and be communicating with their congressmen and senators to get things turned in the right direction. Okay. Now, I introduced you as a guy who's a supporter of the Second Amendment. Everything I've interacted with you about in the past years or two has been at firearms, either working in a firearms gun range or running your own business selling firearms. Is this something you grew up with, or is it something you picked up in the Army? How did your appreciation for the Second Amendment for firearms, where'd that come from?
Well, I grew up on a 600-acre dairy farm in the mountains of West Virginia. We did a lot of hunting there. We also did a lot of shooting. So being part around firearms my whole life, I just grew to respect them and use them for what their intended purposes are. And then being in the military, I went through and shot a lot of firearms, worked on firearms, and learned to use firearms for self-defense and the protection of others. And then when I never thought my life would go around a lot of times where I am right now, dealing with firearms on a daily basis. And so when it has, and I've been doing this since 2019, that I've put myself through gunsmithing school to advance my knowledge of firearms and to work on firearms and help other people get their firearms fixed. I've also put myself through, with the help of Center Shot, to be a certified instructor so I could teach people how to use firearms and properly, and how teach people how to properly use firearms. Because the more knowledge you have on the firearms and how to use them, the better you're going to be with them.
And if you don't use them properly, safely, and correctly, you can do some real serious damage to people. One of the things that I've learned, I don't remember where I learned it, probably in the Army, was that shooting skills, one, need to be developed, and two, they perish fast. If you don't practice, you lose your accuracy, your capability to be on target. Is that something just for me, or is that true for everybody?
That's true for everybody. It's like any skill. If you don't do it a lot, you get rusty. You don't perform as well. The more you practice, the better you get. And even as being an instructor, we go continuously challenge ourselves and teach ourselves, learn from other instructors to better improve our skills. And then there's also different shooting clubs and like competitions and everything to help people to improve their skills and to enjoy shooting firearms. And that's why it's always imperative to be able to get into a range, or if you got a place in your backyard that you can shoot safely, that you know that nothing else or nobody else is going to get hurt, is to always practice. Because if you don't practice, you'll never get better.
Yep, that's true. Richard, we got about a minute left. Talk about your business, what you do, what you offer, and how people can contact you there.
My business is D. Crockett's Corner. You can contact me at 616-307-5270. I offer where you could do a firearm transfer. I could do background checks just like any of the big stores. I sell firearms, ammunition, components. And I also do instruction through my business, plus through Center Shot Gun Range. I do the exact same stuff that they do there. And then also with my gunsmithing certification, I can work on them here through my business or at Center Shot.
And if you don't remember how to get in touch with them, contact me, Danny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. I know how to get Richard easily and can plug you in. Richard, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform and now. I appreciate you, brother.
You're welcome, brother. Anytime.
Next up on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll meet Colonel Steve Kenyon. He's an Army Reserve Ambassador. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Now it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do 40. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Military leaders have called our national debt the greatest threat facing America, and for good reason. We're more than $32 trillion in debt and counting.
Meanwhile, Congress continues to throw money at the Pentagon and Veterans Affairs with no idea if the money is reaching its intended targets.
Concerned Veterans for America fights for more responsible spending from Washington so Americans remain safe and prosperous in the future.
Visit cbafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cbafrontlines.com.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. I'm happy to welcome back to the show my first co-host on Frontlines of Freedom, retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Steve Kenyon. Steve can't seem to stop serving our nation. He's now an Army Reserve Ambassador. So welcome, bro. Glad you could come back to the show.
Well, hello, Denny. Colonel Gillum, we're such great friends, and I admire you and love my time with the show at the beginning, and I got called active duty, but since, all the way through today, periodically getting in there, and you and I see each other regularly. So God bless you, Denny. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Steve, give us a quick review of your time in uniform. I know you served in the Army, mostly in the reserves, but talk about that.
Yeah, the brief story would be I enlisted in freshman year of junior college. My dad was a full colonel commanding an Army hospital unit. So I enlisted as a combat medic in February of 1980 and then finished junior college. I moved to Michigan State University my junior year, and I was going to do the enlisted track and was thankfully talked into Army ROTC. So I did Army ROTC at Michigan State University. I was the cadet battalion commander upon graduation 1982 and commissioned infantry. Then I branch transferred into medical service because I continued on in college. I went to law school. And so medical service officer, kept my infantry too. And through my career in the Army Reserve, so my whole career, 34 years Army Reserve, three mobilizations, I served in field artillery, the most exciting 2 years, 8-inch self-propelled howitzer battalion. I was an infantry battalion commander. I was an instructor for 3 years, the Army Command and General Staff College. Number of medical units. I was commanding and executive officer all the, from clearing company to medical group and mobilized for Operation Joint Endeavor and medical capacity. I did infantry battalion command and General Staff College, as I say. My last 4 years were with the 75th Division Battle Command Mission Command as a deputy for a branch, and that was under mobilization, actually, mobilized for Afghanistan and then sent back to Fort Sheridan. And wonderful career, 34 years, loved it. I did combat support, combat service support, which is not real common. I'm a great generalist, and I've got pretty good expertise and number of areas too. So a great career. I loved it.
Well, it sounds like you weren't bored at any time.
No, sir. No.
You're too busy learning the new branch, the new job.
Yes.
So you served the Army all kinds of different ways. Okay. You got out, got a job. Well, you had a job anyway, much of the time that you were in the reserves, right?
Oh, yeah. All the way through. So my civilian career was as a natural gas professional, principally in natural gas commodity trading, supply management, technology, and marketing, and two wonderful careers. They complemented each other. There were cycles, of course, and you know there were a lot of 60, 70, 80-hour weeks in there and a family, but there was adventure in both and blessed in both careers.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Colonel Steve Kenyon. Okay, Steve, and one of the things that you have become, I'm not sure how long ago this was, 5 years or something, is an Army Reserve Ambassador. Talk
yes.
to us about what is that? What do you do? How do they function? What do they do?
Yes, indeed. So first reference, of course, always, you know, Modern Life, a website. The Army Reserve, of course, the Federal Reserve component of active duty. And then the Army National Guard is the state federal component. So big Army, we all wear the same uniform. The website usar.army.mil is the Army Reserve Ambassador website. And I mean, that's the Army Reserve website. Everything about the Army Reserve, including the Ambassador Program, and that's on probably the second page. And real quick, I will tell you, I was appointed by Lieutenant General Charles D. Lucky in 2018, and he was a hell of a soldier. Most of his career was active duty. In fact, 43 years when he retired in 2021, he was the senior ranking Special Forces soldier on active duty, highest ranking experience. And he did a lot of great things for the Army Reserve. He had a 15-year vision, and his motto for the Army Reserve was lethal, capable, combat ready. Now, that motto has changed with the new administration. It is today, ready now, shaping tomorrow. We could talk about that a little bit. But back to the Army Reserve webpage and the Ambassador Program. And to be very accurate, I'll just read real quick what the official statement is. The Army Reserve Ambassador Program is one of the Army Reserve key outreach and engagement programs. Army Reserve ambassadors are appointed by the Chief of the Army Reserve. And by the way, the Chief is the policy position, 3-star, sits subordinate on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The General Lucky and now General Daniels has a second hat as the commander of the United States Army Reserve Command at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So ARAs are appointed by the Chief Army Reserve to a 3-year term to serve as special government employees who voluntarily represent the CAR, Chief Army Reserve, without salary, wage, or benefits. All Army Reserve ambassadors hold a Department of the Army Protocol Precedent List, level VIP Code 5, Major General, 2-star equivalent. The primary role of an ambassador is to develop awareness and advocacy for the Army Reserve by building bridges of communication to communities across the nation. So that's the official statement. As a practical matter, lots of interaction, Army Reserve, civilian, employers, schools, public relations related, recruiting, of course, encouraging retention within units, interacting with active components. It's really been fun. I was appointed for 3 years in 2018, reappointed for 3 years in 2021 by current Chief of the Army Reserve, Commanding General of the Army Reserve, Lieutenant General Jody Daniels. And my tenure officially ended in 23, but I'm continuing on because we don't have a replacement yet. And I will, either way, I'll continue on in an emeritus capacity. And I'm thankful for that because I really enjoy the mission and all that we work with. One other good point, Denny, as you know, I have a absolutely fantastic 6-year-old, a golden retriever named Scout Boy, MOS 19 Delta, Cavalry Scout. He is an Army, I'm service disabled, Army service trained, and then advanced therapy trained. He is the Army Reserve Ambassador Dog from Michigan, the better looking half of the team, the more popular half. He opens doors for me, and he's a good boy. So we go to a lot of parades, we go to a lot of military units. We visit high schools and colleges and military activities, and you know, he just, like I say, he gathers the crowd and then I can do the boring stuff. And so it's fun. Army Reserve Ambassadors, Denny, technically one per state. Again, 3-year tenure appointed by the Chief of the Army Reserve. And some of the big states have 2 Army Reserve Ambassadors, certainly Texas, California, Florida. And we know a number of other wonderful emeritus ambassadors, Lieutenant Colonel, retired Mel Bauman, here in Grand Rapids, my mentor, one of my wonderful mentors, in addition to you, even though we're close in age. But good stuff, Denny.
Steve, that's awesome. I really appreciate your sharing that because I knew a little bit about it, but I didn't know that much. We're about out of time. Give us one more time. How can people check in to find their Army Reserve Ambassador? What was the website again?
Yes, indeed. It is USAR, for United States Army Reserve, usar.army.mil, and that is the webpage for everything in the Army Reserve. And of course, with one click, you're into active duty Army too. So not only ambassador the entire chain of command, all of the programs, all of the incentives to join the military, all of the contacts, units in every state. It's a great website run by great people, great American patriots like you, Colonel Gillum. Good people.
Steve, thank you. Thanks for sharing this important information, and thank you for your nonstop service to our nation. I'm glad we're brothers.
Same here, Denny. Absolutely an honor and a privilege in every way. Thank you.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, Diane Raver will present the movie of the month, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you are giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. Welcome back to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum, and it's time for the movie of the month. So, of course, we're joined by our great team member, Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Hey, Diane, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Denny. It's an honor and a privilege, as always, to be with you and your audience.
Hey, and this is fun. And, oh, the film festival was this month. Indeed, it's just over. I take it you weren't bored and you had a lot of fun?
Oh, yes. I mean, just wonderful.
Well, how could it not be? You guys do such a good job. But it does have to feel good to be able to relax a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, relax? What's that?
Look it up in the dictionary. I think you'll find something worth pursuing.
Yeah.
Okay. Our movie for this month is Null Arbor. Interesting title of an interesting, sort of goofy, very fun movie that has got a few messages in it that most people could gather something from.
Yeah, I mean, good to have some fun once in a while, huh?
Yes, there's some real messages here, but we can have some fun and laugh at things as we go. And certainly this has got some of that. Okay, basically we have two guys who apparently don't know each other. And they're driving on a highway in what seems to be mostly desert. There's not much around them.
Yeah.
And they keep interacting with each other for whatever reason. I wouldn't want to say male ego or anything like that. But
no.
See, that's gender related and that you're not supposed to say that. But the young guy, basically a dumb know-it-all, lead-foot, with a reasonably new, powerful car. And the old guy, like me, is in an older car and seems to be mostly minding his own business. But they continue to interact. Quite an interesting put together. Okay, so here are some of the listener comments. Both drivers are on the right side of their car. This is likely England or Australia, with a question mark. Well, I don't think England has any desert, so I'm guessing
Australia. I believe it's Australia, yeah.
Okay, well, I guessed right there. The young guy's driving his car fast on a road with no one on it. He's looking for something, maybe a cigarette or something. He ends up climbing over the back seat looking for it, turns around, sits down in time to almost smash into the old guy's car. but he stops in time. Yes, I've been known to look around while I'm driving, but never to lean over into the back seat. So this is partially a cartoon. I think that's a fair way of putting it.
Yes, I mean, it's just fun. And
yes,
it was kind of, it reminded me of the film Mad Max, if any of you are familiar with that cult classic. You know, it kind of reminded me of that.
Oh, maybe that was a role model.
Yeah.
Anyway, he stops in time, then he pulls up alongside the other guy. The old guy seems to be laying down on the front seat and has something on his dashboard. So not sure how he could even drive the car laying down across the two seats in the front. But apparently he has something on his dashboard, and I'm guessing the young guy indicates that he would like whatever it is. Maybe it's cigarettes, or don't know. But he doesn't get anything. On the other hand, if you were laying down on your front seat while your car is going down the road, why would you be interested in getting up and getting whatever the box was and sharing it?
Yeah.
But again, let's just say this is entertaining. You wonder what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
So the young guy takes off. At some point, he stops apparently at a truck stop. And I'm guessing he's trying to buy something from a vending machine, but he can't get it to give him whatever he's after, so he's pulling on it, and it falls over on him. That's funny. And while he's recovering from that, the old guy drives by and smiles. So, again, I'm guessing this relates to whatever the old guy had on his dashboard, gum or cigarettes or, I don't know.
Cookies? Who knows?
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yes.
Yeah, could have been food.
Yeah, I vote for cookies. That'd be my first choice if we're going to vote on
it. It's kind of Mad Max eats the tortoise and the hare in a way.
Yeah. So and it's, during this time, there's at least one time where they flip each other off. on one case, the young guy moons the older guy. It's just this while driving at high speed.
Yeah.
I've not seen that in a movie ever.
Well, this is an indie. They do whatever they want.
That just certainly caught me by surprise. Let's put it that way. Then in another exchange, they do whatever, and they both take off at full speed, and they approach a train crossing. And the old guy just keeps going and gets across just before the train. The young guy hits the brakes and stops in time, and the train, a good-sized long train, goes by. So maybe that's the end of it. Not. Then we see the old guy take whatever that thing is off the dashboard, and I think he plays with it like it's maybe a harmonica or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it's something he enjoys. The young guy's not around. Then the young guy drives up very fast until his car is literally falling apart. Now, the old guy's not around. It literally falls apart a piece at a time, and all of a sudden, our young guy is sitting on the ground. His car is literally in pieces. He drove it apart. That's hard to do, but I guess... And he's also on a ridge overlooking the water, which I guess was an ocean, but it doesn't make any difference what it was.
Right.
The old guy pulls up, walks up next to him, and offers him the item from his dashboard. And apparently it's a box of gum. That's a reasonable way to say, I don't know, I see you're walking somewhere or something, but we can be nice. And right then, his car, I guess he forgot to put the brakes on, rolls over the cliff.
Yeah.
So there they are together.
Yeah. Stranded.
No, yep. Nowhere. But they do have a box of gum to share.
And they've been through this bonding experience, you know.
That's a good word, bonding. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
And then they both are trying to hitchhike away. And from what we've seen so far on this thing before it ends, they're not that successful.
No.
So maybe the moral of the story is to be nice to others, or maybe it's how not to live. Whatever it is, sure worth, it gets you laughing and thinking a little bit. And,
right.
And that's sort of the idea.
You know, it's just how ridiculous road rage is to begin with. And, yes. You know, and you never know what's going to happen that you'll need the other guy. So better not to flip him off. You know?
That's a really good point.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed it for what it was, you know.
I suspect we did. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Well, we've got a minute, and the festival is over, but you have one every year, and it's always in March, right?
Yes, and now we look forward to the call for entries for next year, 2025, opening May 1st. So anyone who has an actor or a filmmaker or a screenplay writer or anybody in their family, please tell them to look on our website, gsff.org, for instructions on how to submit their work.
And they don't have to have something like this, flipping each other off and mooning each other. That's not a requirement.
No.
But you're wide open to a lot of things and you get an awful lot of talent, and it's really cool.
Right. Thank you, everyone, for all your support over the years. It's been a great honor and a great privilege.
And thank you, Diane, for another great film and for being such a great member of the Front Lines of Freedom team. It's fun working with you. It's great. God bless you.
Thank you, Denny.
I'm Colonel Denny Gilliam. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? And once your ranger ready, then stand at ease. It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800-UCB-GOLD to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800-UCB-GOLD. That's 800-UCB-GOLD, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com, 10% off promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
I'm Colonel Denny Gill, and this is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Hey, I do a bit of coin collecting. Universal Coin is the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase gold and silver. Go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or by Facebook. By golly, we don't have any comments this week, Skip. Okay, so now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, is it possible that we're not as incredible as we thought we were? Is that why people aren't writing in?
That would be impossible.
I think so. Well, that's my comment for today. We really are that incredible, Colonel.
You know, and I agree with that comment, young man.
I thought you might. All right. Military history. On 5 April 1614, the American Indian princess Pocahontas married English Jamestown colonist John Rolfe in Virginia. Their marriage brought a temporary peace between the English settlers and the Algonquins. In 1616, the couple sailed to England. The Indian princess was popular with the English gentry.
I bet that was interesting. And the 3rd of April, 1776, during our Revolutionary War, because we lacked sufficient funds to build a strong navy, the Continental Congress gave privateers permission to attack any and all British ships. In a bill signed by John Hancock, its president, and dated April 3, 1776, the Continental Congress issued, quote, instructions to the commanders of private ships or vessels of war, which shall have commissions of letters of marque and reprisal, authorizing them to make captures of British vessels and cargoes, end quote. Letters of marque and reprisal were official documents by which 18th century governments commissioned private commercial ships, known as privateers, to act on their behalf, attacking ships carrying the flags of enemy nations. Any goods captured by the privateer were divided between the ship's owner and the government that wrote the letter. The distinction between pirates and privateers was non-existent to those who faced them on the high seas. They behaved in an identical manner, boarding and capturing ships, using force if necessary. However, privateers holding letters of marque were not subject to prosecution by their home nations, and, if captured, were treated as prisoners of war instead of criminals by foreign nations.
And on 3 April 1865, during our Civil War, the rebel capital of Richmond fell to the Union, the most significant sign that the Confederacy was nearing its final days. For 10 months, General Ulysses Grant had tried unsuccessfully to infiltrate the city. After Lee made a desperate attack against Fort Stedman along the Union line on March 25, Grant prepared for a major offensive. He struck at Five Forks on April 1st, crushing the end of Lee's line southwest of Petersburg. On April 2, the Yankees struck all along the Petersburg line and the Confederates collapsed. On the evening of April 2, the Confederate government fled the city with the army right behind. Now on the morning of April 3, blue-coated troops entered the capital. Richmond was the holy grail of the Union war effort, the object of 4 years of campaigning. Tens of thousands of Yankee lives were lost trying to get it, and nearly as many Confederate lives lost trying to defend it. Now the Yankees came to take possession of their prize. One resident, Mary Fontaine, wrote, quote, I saw them unfurl a tiny flag, and I sank on my knees, and the bitter, bitter tears came in a torrent, unquote. As the Federals rode in, another wrote that the city's black residents were completely crazed. They danced and shouted. Men hugged each other and women kissed. Among the first forces into the Capitol were black troopers from the 5th Massachusetts Cavalry. And the next day, President Abraham Lincoln visited the city. For the residents of Richmond, these were symbols of a world turned upside down. It was, one reporter noted, too awful to remember if it were possible to be erased. But that cannot be.
I'm glad I wasn't part of the Civil War. On the 1st of April, 1945, during World War II, after suffering the loss of 116 planes and damage to 3 aircraft carriers, 50,000 U.S. combat troops of the 10th Army, under the command of Lieutenant General Simon Buckner, Jr., landed on the southwest coast of the Japanese island of Okinawa, 350 miles south of Kyushu, the southern main island of Japan. Determined to seize Okinawa as a base of operations for our Army, ground, and air forces for a later assault on mainland Japan, over 1,300 ships converged on the island, finally putting to shore 50,000 combat troops on April 1st. The Americans quickly seized 2 airfields and advanced inland to cut the island's waste. They battled nearly 120,000 Japanese Army, militia, and labor troops under the command of Lieutenant General Mitu Ujijima. The Japanese surprised American forces with a change in strategy, drawing them into mainland rather than confronting them at the water's edge. While the Americans landed without loss of men, they would suffer more than 50,000 casualties, including over 12,000 deaths, as the Japanese staged a desperate defense of the island, a defense that included waves of kamikaze, divine wind air attacks. Eventually, their suicide raids proved counterproductive, as the Japanese finally ran out of planes and resolve, with some 4,000 finally surrendering. Japanese casualties numbered some 117,000. Lieutenant General Buckner, the son of a Civil War general, was among the casualties killed by enemy artillery fire just 3 days before the Japanese surrender. Japanese General Ushijima committed the ritual suicide upon the defeat of his forces.
117,000. That's amazing and terrible.
Yeah, I can't even imagine it.
And on 4 April 1949, the U.S. and 11 other nations established the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, a mutual defense pact aimed at containing possible Soviet aggression against Western Europe. NATO stood as the main U.S.-led military alliance against the Soviet Union throughout the duration of the Cold War. NATO lasted throughout the course of the Cold War and continues to play a role in post-Cold War Europe.
It sure does. The question is how effective will it be? And on 5 April 2003, on the 18th day of Operation Iraqi Freedom, U.S. 3rd Infantry troops entered Baghdad for the first time. Coalition troops took several objectives surrounding the capital in the north and northwest. U.S. warplanes hit Iraqi positions near the commercial center of Mosul. Up to 3,000 Iraqi fighters were killed as American armored vehicles moved into Baghdad. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Marine veteran Brian Teichman was dropping his 2-year-old daughter at the babysitter's house in Queens, New York, when he spotted a man forcing an Asian woman over a guardrail across the street and into a deserted wooded area. It didn't seem right. Once I saw him launch her over the guardrail, I knew something was wrong. My thought was, scream first. If he runs, you don't have to worry if he has a gun or a knife. In the deepest scream I could, I said, hey, get the F off her. He looked at me and then ran downhill towards the westbound shoulder of the parkway, Teichman said. The woman was distraught but physically unharmed. Police are looking for the suspect.
Thanks, Colonel. At first glance, some people might think this is a very boring scenario. After all, the hero didn't have to pull his gun, didn't have to fight off the criminal with his bare hands, and he was never really in any mortal danger. He simply screamed as loud as he could and demanded the bad guy cease and desist. Let's look into it a little more in depth. If you've ever been to Marine or Army boot camp, you recall the way drill instructors taught you the primal combat scream. I didn't understand the reason for it at the time, but I do now. What exactly does the primal scream do? First, it physically changes the person who's doing the screaming. How? It fills your bloodstream with adrenaline. That gets your heart pumping faster than normal, sending more oxygen out to your body in anticipation of a fight. This has the ability to make you stronger and faster for a short period of time. It also helps you overcome fear, and that extra strength and courage can make a huge difference in a physical fight. Second, it also changes you mentally. Once you scream with all your might, it's an inward sign that you are committed to defending the person under attack. You're telling yourself that you've crossed the Rubicon and there's no turning back. You are preparing yourself mentally to enter into a life or death struggle to do the right thing. The scream tells you that you'll do whatever is necessary to win the fight. You'll bite, you'll kick, you'll scratch, you'll scream, you'll do whatever it takes. And third, the primal scream serves as a warning to the criminal that this is his last chance to leave without entering into combat. The military scream is extremely loud as you can make it, but it's also visceral. It's coming from your gut, from deep inside you, and you're not holding anything back. But here's an important safety tip. When you scream, scream from your diaphragm, not from your voice box, so you don't strain your vocal cords. This combat Marine did a great job saving this woman and proved that even without a rifle, he was capable of conquering evil. The primary weapon of the Marine Corps isn't the rifle. It's the Marine himself. And Frontlines of Freedom salutes and thanks this brave young Marine in coming to the aid of an innocent stranger.
Well said, Skip. Great insight. Our movie of the month is Nolobar. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, and get the link and watch it for free. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Dave and Bob will discuss our Bill of Rights. Then we'll learn about the Military Officers Association of America and what it does for all uniformed people. And Teresa Robinson will introduce another woman veteran. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's also available in Spanish. You can purchase the book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Do have a happy and blessed Easter. And stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.